Hello, hello. Drum roll, please. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Stop Effing Around with the Same 5 Pounds call, or otherwise known as How to Lose 5 Pounds This Month. Right? Let's get it going. Oh, we even got some hearts. We got some people here. How do I get my, there we go. My people in my chat. Let me know where you're calling me for, or coming in from. Friends. It would be great to see where you are. Hey, Nancy. And this is a live coaching call, so please raise your hand and let's do some live coaching. But as I'm waiting for folks to raise their hand so we can have a good conversation, maybe we'll just chit chat a little bit. Miramar Beach, Florida, Michigan. Michigan's doing well in the basketball tournament. Houston, Albuquerque, Minnesota. Wow, we got people from everywhere. California. Wow, fantastic. Thank you everyone for visiting with me on a Tuesday morning, last day of the month. Going into April, going to get some spring cleaning of our weight loss habits, shall we? So, how do we lose 5 pounds this month? How do we stop effing around with the same 5 pounds, right? And so, I was thinking about it before this call, and I was like, if I were to just, flat out, someone's like, Lizzie, I want to lose 5 pounds this month. I'm no longer messing with it. Let's go. Tell me what to do. Obviously, there's the physical action steps, and I want you to always, always, always make a goal based on your actions rather than the results. So, like, for example, I want you to make a goal of like, I'm going to leave 2 or 3 bites behind at dinner 4 to 5 nights a week. That's an action that's within your control. The results will take care of itself. Weight loss is a result, it is an outcome. So I don't just want you to say, I'm going to lose 5 pounds this week, excuse me, this month, because that's a result. I want you to make a goal based on your actions. So there's the actions, certainly. Leaving bites behind, stopping at enough. Those are the things that are going to move the needle to get those 5 pounds off this month. So always there's the actions, but like weight loss is a lot like an iceberg. What to do is the stuff above the surface, the things you can see, those, the four basics, the action steps, the leaving bites behind, stopping at enough at dinner. The stuff underneath the surface of the water is why it's hard to do those things. All of the reasons why it's hard, why when we come home from work and we're like, I know I should pause, but F it, I don't care. Or I'm really tired, or I, ate past enough because it just tastes so good. That's all that stuff underneath the surface. And so, a couple of thoughts on if someone's like, Lizzie, give it to me hard and fast. How am I gonna lose 5 pounds this month? I'd say focus a goal on your action steps, and then we're gonna shift your thoughts. Let's look underneath the surface. What are some of those mindset shifts? And so, number one, I would say, stop thinking that you're on a diet. Hear me when I say this. Please don't ever diet again. We're done. No more diets. Because you don't want to just lose weight. You want to live at your lower weight. And that requires you to change how you live. And so a diet, by its very nature, is temporary. So I don't want you to do that. I want you to change in a way that you can live your life. So, stop thinking you're on a diet. Leave the religion of dieting. And if you think about it, it's kind of a really decent analogy. Religions, diets, not making any political statements about any particular religion, but in general, there's like dogma, there's rules and so forth, and same thing with the diet. There's rules with the diet. And if you follow them, you're good, and if you don't follow them, you're bad. Now, let's break up with that. And so it's about autonomy versus rules. So, for example, instead of saying, I can't have X, that's a rule, I'd rather you make a choice and say, I could have X and choose it or don't choose it. But acknowledge, like, yes, you can. You can have it. You're a grown-ass woman. And you can choose it and choose the outcomes that come with it, or you can choose not to have it and choose, the outcomes that come with that. And so, like, I'm choosing ice cream because I feel like it will help me feel comforted in this moment. Or I'm choosing not to have ice cream because I don't want the scale to be up tomorrow. And again, like it's not good or bad. We all have emotional eats, and you can have an emotional eat and be okay with it and like your reasons. But take some of the morality out of it. So it's just, a choice with logical outcomes. Let the drama aside. No morality. Another thing I would say. So number one, stop thinking that you're on a diet. We're not dieting. We're just making choices. Number two, future you still has stress. A year from now, you will still have stressful days. You will still have, your boss is a jerk. You will get sick. Like future you has your same life. But if future you has lost weight, she responds to stress differently. And so I had a conversation with a client about this just the other day that, like, you're still gonna have those urges, and your brain is still gonna be like, you know what, food will fix this. But you just have an additional sentence to that conversation, which is like, yeah, but is food really gonna fix this stressful thing for me? For example, this past Saturday, it was prom, and our daughter was going out to prom. And I won't go into all the details, but basically, there was like a last minute wardrobe snafu that was not fun and a little stressful. And my husband and I had plans to go out to dinner later on anyway. We were a little late because of that. And my brain went back to the old familiar thought of like, oh my God, I need a glass of wine. Like, have you ever had that? Like, I'm stressed out. I need a glass of wine, stat. Because that's been my old thought for decades. And what's different now is like I have an extra sentence that's like, first, oh my God, I need a glass of wine. And then the second sentence is, yeah, but is that going to fix this? And so you can have like future you a month from now who has lost 5 pounds still has stress, but she has that and still has the thought that food will fix the stress, but she has an additional sentence in her brain that's like, but what is food actually going to do for me? Is it going to fix this stress? And for me, particularly with alcohol, like I have decided that I want to live a life where I can still choose to have alcohol, but why I choose it really matters to me. So I did still choose to have alcohol with my husband that night at dinner because it was a nice dinner. We had steak, it was amazing. But I took that moment to like step back, pause, and regulate. And like, I am choosing to enjoy this moment of connection and relationship building with my husband rather than I got to drink my frustration away. And so you can, same thing, like when you have those frustrating moments, when you have those tireds and your brain wants to turn to food to just make it all go away, why you choose the food can really matter. It's like, is the food really going to make this better? Is it going to make it go away? And then you make a choice, again, not based out of rules, but out of choices. It's not good or bad. It's not drama, not morality, and so forth. All right. Cool. Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate your comment on my arms. A quick funny story. So, yes, I like to lift weights and I really like my shoulders. They're so fun. And so when we were at dinner on Saturday night, I was wearing a sleeveless top and the waitress came up and she's like, I just got to ask, do you work out? And my husband's like, oh God, here we go. Because he teases me all the time about how, like, whenever I get a compliment on my shoulders, he's like, you're just gonna give her a big head. And so it's a big funny joke in the house. And he's like, Lizzie, you don't have anything that has sleeves. I'm like, well, I do, just anyway. So funny, funny. All right. Jessie has raised her hand. Jessie, let's do some coaching. And I gotta find the buttons. Promote to panelists. There we go. Cool. I'm so glad you guys are here. Thank you for joining me today.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm so good. Okay, so I have been rebelling against creating a morning walking habit, which I'm super sedentary. Like my average steps are like, if I'm really deliberate, maybe 6,000 steps a day, and like, I want to start working on muscle mass and I want to start like getting my cardiovascular health under control and everything like that. So I hate working out in the evenings because I'm always so tired after work, and it's so easy to just not after work. So I'm like, all right, I gotta get up in the morning and do it. To do that, I would have to get up at like 4:30 in the morning, which I know I can do because I'm a physician who works overnight shifts, and there are times when I have to be up at 4:30 in the morning to do something for a patient. So it's like, I know it is possible, but man, whenever my alarm goes off, it's just like the bed is so warm and it's still so dark out right now, and I will hit snooze for an hour until I have to get up and go to work. So I know I just need to do it and like get it over with. And you don't have to be motivated to do something good for yourself. You just have to like do it, even though your brain is whining and screaming. But I figured I'd just come on and get coaching for it.
I'm so glad you did. And usually, at least in my personal experience, telling myself I just need to do it doesn't work for me. Like I'm like I because I'm like that doesn't give me a ton of direction, and it doesn't help me like navigate around whatever's getting in the way. So like let's just dig in a little bit more. So why do you want to walk?
My cardiovascular health is garbage. I can get up two flights of stairs, but any more than that, and I'm like huffing and puffing and like clutching my chest. And luckily, like my blood pressure, I have no biomarkers that say my sedentary situation is affecting me, but I'm like, but yeah, I can only rely on that buffer for so long. Like, I am going to get older, and if I don't get this figured out now, it's going to be harder to figure out, and I'll already be like that much further behind. So that's why. And then the other reality is I am terrified at dying old and decrepit after I break my hip and like somebody is changing my diapers. Like, I do not want to die that way. And so the way to not do that is to get my cardiovascular health and like my muscle mass better.
Have you had the experience of getting up out of bed and going for a walk?
Yes, but not at 4:30 in the morning.
Tell me a little
I
more.
like, yeah. On my days off, I'll get up around 7 and I'll spend an hour like drinking my coffee and reading a book. And then I'll be like, all right, I've done this long enough. I should probably go do something. Well, I should take a shower. Well, if I take a shower, then I'm really not going to walk afterwards. I don't get ridiculously sweaty when I walk, so I don't understand why that's a whatever. But I was like, well, I guess I better take a walk and then I'll take a shower and then I'll feel really good about myself today.
And do you do that? And how do you feel about yourself?
Really good.
Okay. So you have evidence that on days when you go for a walk, you feel really good. And on days that you don't go for a walk, you feel.
Like I've failed somehow. Just kind of this nagging. If you just would have tried a little bit harder, like you would have done the thing that you know you want to do.
So, at 4:30 in the morning, your bed is just like this sweet talking lover, just like,
Dude, we have the
babe.
most comfortable bed. I can't even tell you. We have spent time, money, and energy curating this amazing sleep space because my husband was a huge insomniac. So when I say I love my bed, like it's so good.
Anyone else want to like go cuddle up in her bed? Like, Jesse, can we have a slumber party?
It's
That'd be so
so
much
good.
fun.
Come on over, everybody.
And if you have any suggestions for husbands that are insomniacs, like we gotta talk, because
Yeah.
yeah.
Yes, I
Any
do. I have lots, actually.
okay.
Yes.
All right. So I totally get 4:30 in the morning, it's hard. And you have evidence that on days when you do walk, you feel really good. And on days when you don't walk, you have this sort of low level cloud of not good enough. Is
Oh
that
yeah.
accurate?
Yeah, totally.
All right. So would it be accurate to say, if I get out of bed, my day will go better. I will feel better.
Oh yeah. No, that's accurate.
Okay. So we can say it's 4:30 in the morning. The bed is amazing. That is true. And also, if you have the thought, if I just get out of bed and do something, my day will go better. Is that also true?
That is true. Yes.
All right. So we have two true things.
Yes.
What are you expecting of yourself in terms of a walk in the morning?
Oh, I am starting with the bar very low. Like, if I walked for 10 minutes, I would feel like an absolute rock star. The other reality is, I know that getting started is the hardest part. So if I get started and say, I'm just going to do 10 minutes, and if I want to stop, I will. If I leave that enough time between that and having to get ready to go to work, I know that I'm going to walk longer. So.
Okay. So that's great that you're starting with a low bar. You know that getting started is the hardest part. Let's unpack that a little bit. So what I'm trying to walk you through is like what are the obstacles? It's not just like Jesse has no willpower. Like there's legit obstacles here. Let's navigate around them to help you lower those instead of climbing Mount Everest, we're like walking over a little speed bump. So, what are the obstacles? Like, do you have to find your clothes or your shoes? Where are they set out ever?
No, I said no. They're all in one place and they're all in a spot where it's like if I just reach my hand in the drawer and grab two things, I will have something that I can walk in. It's really easy.
If you get up and open up the drawer, are you waking up your husband?
No, because now he's not a huge insomniac and he sleeps really, really well.
Oh my gosh, we really need to talk.
Yes,
What's your last name? Can I DM you on Facebook?
please. No. Oh, I'm not on Facebook, but I'll put my email in the chat for
Okay.
anybody who like wants to here's how my husband solved his insomnia. Yeah. Oh my God, I
Gosh.
feel so validated. There it
This
is.
is a real thing for me. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so you have clothes, you have shoes. The main obstacle is just the bed, or is there anything else?
It's the thought that I'm so tired, which is actually not true because if I really pay attention to when I naturally wake up, like without an alarm, the very first time I wake up is probably around 4:30, 4:45. And then I just have this, oh, I really want to stay in bed until my alarm goes off. It's like that rebellion, that kind of. Naturally, I probably do wake up right then, and I just want to rebel and be like, no, I'm going to stay in bed until my alarm goes off. But then my alarm does go off. You know what? I think the thought is getting up and walking actually isn't going to be worth it because this is so much better. I think that's probably in there a little bit. It can't be that good. It can't be that worth it.
Okay. How do you know? Have you tried it?
Yeah, I know. Well, and as you pointed out, I have evidence that when I do it, when I have a day off, I feel really good. So now that thought is just like, well, no, you have evidence that it actually works pretty well.
So your very smart, intelligent brain is probably saying, how much difference is a 10-minute walk going to make? Like it's maybe you're mathing out the calories or the steps or the whatever, and you're like, seriously, that is not going to make a dent in my cardiovascular health, my weight loss, whatever. And on the numerical quantifiable surface, all right, like I'm not going to argue with that. Like it's going to make a little bit of a dent, but maybe not a huge one. Like you could out eat a 10-minute walk pretty fast.
Oh yeah.
What will it do for you?
It'll give me such a sense of accomplishment that I've actually done something for myself before I've gone into work where, I mean, there is no for myself at work, which is fine. Like, I understand that, and that's what I've chosen, and it should be that way. But just the idea that I was able to do something myself before work, that would be really lovely.
All right, well, let's take that. So you got this feeling of like I did something for myself before work. So one of the very first things you do in the day. How do you think that feeling is going to impact some of your choices the rest of the day?
Oh, it's going to make them a whole lot easier. It's going to be a whole lot easier to get a salad instead of fried chicken fingers and steak fries if I've had a walk in the morning.
Okay.
Because even though I know the 10-minute walk isn't like a lot of activity, the idea that, well, I don't want to undo that good care that I took care of myself by like eating a bunch of fried stuff that I'm probably self-soothing with on some other level, but it'll
Okay.
be easier to pick the salad.
Okay. So we've got almost like a momentum building of more positive choices from a 10-minute walk. And how, if you were able to do that a couple times a week, maybe a little bit more consistently, how could that accrue over time?
Well, I mean, then it becomes a habit that I have so much evidence that it actually helps me that getting out of bed would not be that hard anymore. And then, like, I could build on those habits. Like, 10 minutes could become 30 minutes, and then the 30 minutes of walking could become, okay, well, I'm also going to throw in like 10 minutes of just squats or something like that. And then still be on time to work and have that momentum to keep making better choices for my health for the rest of the day. And I mean, I can also imagine that if I'm not starting off the day by beating myself up for not taking the walk, then there's probably going to be less self-soothing that needs to be done throughout the day. Because if I start the day with the very first thought, well, you screwed up again. Like, that doesn't feel great. Yeah.
So again, mathematically, quantifiably, it makes sense why your brain is like, it's not really going to make that much of a difference. But if we add up some of the invisible benefits and the sort of net positive of the lack of beating yourself up, what would you say back to that thought of like, it's not going to make any difference?
Well, it seems like what I have to do is, okay, let's just try. Because you've thought about all of it, you've thought about all of the benefits, so let's just try. And kind of the you guys saying before you poo-poo something, you have to try it so you actually have data to say if it's not going to work or if it's not going to whatever. So it seems like that's the next thought tomorrow morning. All right, you say it's not going to be worth it, but let's just try.
Yeah, solid point. So when your brain says it's not going to be worth it, do you have anything you could say back to it of like, it would be worth it because of the net positive of the, kind of cumulative decisions, or is it more
Yeah.
just, let's just try?
I think what would get me out of the bed is let's just try. And then if that doesn't work tomorrow, the next move is you and Coach Lizzie talked for like 15 minutes about how many benefits this would have. Come on, let's go. I think that would be the next plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can tell you from my personal experience, like I have been working from home since 2015. And so I have plenty of examples of days where I hit the snooze and was like, now just roll out of bed and get to work versus days when I got my ass out of bed and did something. And lo and behold, I gathered evidence that like, no, my day goes a lot better when I just do something. It doesn't, sometimes it's an amazing workout. Frankly, these days, less and less, it's more just something. But I have accrued a lot of evidence that like my day goes better when I do something. And so now that it, I still, I mean, today have days where I'm like, I don't want to. And I have the mantra that is fact that my day goes better when I just do something. And believe me, the 10-minute walk, like, as long as I've been, working out, like the minimum is still really minimum. That like I it's still gotta be like just do something. And that's enough to get me moving, get, like the shake the cobwebs out. 'Cause like, I don't know about you, but like I do not wake up feeling rosy and sunshiny. I wake up with like all the anxieties, all of the things, and just like go, 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 go. So the workout helps me kind of shake some of that off and be like, come on, get your brain in the right setting. And so anyway, what you are talking about is like you're asking yourself to give yourself the chance to gather that evidence. And so in the, just as you're saying, like, let's just try. If you were to set up an experiment for yourself of like, I want to try to get out of bed, give yourself a range 1 to 3 times this week. So you make the low end really doable. And maybe it's just, I want to set my alarm and get up. And maybe you don't go for a walk, but you get up, you get out of bed, like, and experiment. And if whatever you are experimenting, like the goal, if you're like not able to meet it, that's not a problem. That's not a failure. That's information. That's saying like, all right, we just need to dial the goal back a little bit. And then I also want you, like, when you do eventually have that day that you do get up and go for a walk, be really observant of yourself the rest of the day. Collect data. Be like, how did I feel about myself? What choices did I make? When I had that urge for the brownie, what other thoughts came along? And so, yeah, I think that there's a really interesting opportunity to create some experiments and gather some data around, like, is it true that my day goes better if I just do something? What do you think?
Yeah, that makes sense. And as you're talking, I think I was still making the goal too big. Because I'm telling myself just 10 minutes, but then I'm also telling myself just 10 minutes every single day. You're going to get up at 4:30 for the every single day for the rest of your life. And I think that do it 1 to 3 times this week. I was like, oh yeah, that never crossed my mind. That was do it every single day until you die. And maybe that was also part of what was holding me back now that I think about it. Okay, great.
I think too, when you're like, if I get the 10 minutes into a habit, then I could add some squats and this and that. Not saying don't do that, but keep the minimum so small. Like, I not again, not lately, but like back in the day, like I could crush some workouts. And still, the minimum is like, get out there and do a 7-minute warm up. And if that's all you got, that's all you got. It's enough. It counts. As I've been saying in the 365s, like everything counts. It has to count.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
So awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Since you were so kind to offer me your email address, would you be interested in some gentle accountability? Anything that would help you feel supported?
No, that's okay. But you know
Okay.
what? I will email you next week and tell you how I've done. How about that?
That sounds great.
Or
So I'm going.
I'll put in and ask for coaching.
Oh,
Yes.
all good. I copied your email address. Trust me, I'm going to email you because
Okay.
like my husband does not sleep.
Okay.
And yeah, so we'll follow up and see how it goes.
Yes. Awesome. All right. Hey, thanks,
Cool.
everybody.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. Great.
Take care.
You too. Okie doke. Wow. All right, we got a Q&A, and I need some more people to raise their hand because I got nobody is raising their hands right now. So Anonymous says in Lizzie's intro, she talked about goals based on actions versus results. Then she talked about one item is physical actions, and then on our mindset shifts and the various examples. What was a little bit before the mindset discussion coaching? Sure. So Anonymous, when I was talking about hang on. When I was talking about the action steps to focus on like the top of the iceberg, what to do. Is the things that we can see. So the things that are going to move the needle this month to help you lose 5 pounds is leaving 3 bites behind. And just like with Jesse, where I was like, 1 to 3 times this week, you could be like, I'm aiming to leave 3 bites behind at dinner, 1 to 3 times at dinner this week, or 2 to 5 times at dinner this week. Give yourself a range, make the low end of the range something that feels so doable, but give yourself some wiggle room so that you can feel some success for days that like just go sideways. And see how it goes. So leaving bites behind is a tangible action that's within your control. Stopping at enough as a tangible action that's within your control. Putting less on your plate to begin with. One of the tools I sometimes will tell clients is like, serve your plate, take 3 or 4 bites, put it back before you even start. There you go. So those are some of the tangible actions that I talked about before the mindset stuff. All right. And so now we've got other people raise their hands. Oh, so great. All right. We got Sarah and then Elaine. Awesome.
Good morning. So we will see how
Hi.
this goes. I have my little 4-week-old sidekick here with
Oh
me.
my
So,
goodness, Sarah, teeny tiny baby. Wow.
So
God bless you.
I joined NoBS about a year ago and stayed with it through being pregnant, trying to stay healthy through pregnancy, which worked very well. Now I'm just struggling with some thoughts of I'm breastfeeding, so I can get away with a few more bites than I need, which I don't think is actually true. I think I'm compensating for having a 5-year-old and a 4-week-old and being overstimulated and tired at the end of the day. Because looking at my habit tracker, my breakfast and lunch stopping at enough is going really well, but the snacks and dinner stopping at enough, I'm at like 40 and 50%. So I guess any ideas for when you're overstimulated later in the day and eating more than I need?
Okay. This is a really good question. And given that you are breastfeeding, assuming that's something you want to continue to do, you do want to make sure you are getting enough calories to support both you and your baby. Randomly, that was a thing like that happened with my second child. Like I was working out, really trying to get back to my pre-pregnancy weight and ended up like my milk was not enough for her. So, be balanced. But my main advice would be just ask yourself, why am I eating? Am I eating, because I'm hungry for nourishment to help me and my baby? Or am I eating because I just can't, because I am overwhelmed, because I'm using the food to soothe my emotions? And, if you find that like I'm eating because I'm soothing my emotions, like welcome to being human, that's okay. But just ask yourself, is this food really, I guess basically like just call yourself out on the thought of like, I can get away with extra because I'm breastfeeding. Be like, it's more like, am I actually hungry and I need this fuel, or am I soothing some emotion? Any answer is okay, but just be honest with yourself.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And one thing I want to work on is just slowing down a little bit because I think, when you're on a 2 hours, it's time to feed again schedule, it's like, well, I better grab something quick because then I'm going to be tied down and I'm not taking the time to stop and listen. Like, am I hungry or am I just wanting something to eat because it's something to do while I'm stuck in the recliner or because I'm stressed? Or so I think just taking those few breaths before I actually choose what I'm going to eat next to decide, do I need it or do I need something else?
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How doable does that feel?
That feels doable. I mean, it's just the matter of doing it because you just feel like I feel like I'm rushing from one thing to the next. And so yeah, taking that pause, I think would be really helpful.
Yeah. And you probably are rushing from one thing to the next. Tell me a little bit about the rushing. Is it like emergency level rushing, or just like, someone's want something and you're sort of sacrificing your time to help someone else feel more comfortable.
Yeah, I think that's the second option. Just, when someone's crying because it's time to eit, then I'm on the clock, and
Yeah.
some of that's going to be what it's going to be, but I don't have to compensate by having something to eat every time that feels stressful either.
Yeah. What other things can you do to help you, kind of regulate your nervous system and take care of you, in addition to sometimes having an emotional eat? Like, what are other some like nervous system regulating things that you can do for yourself?
I am doing my best to keep my Kindle by wherever I'm feeding so that I can sit and read a book and not a necessarily a good for me book, but just a enjoyable,
Yeah.
something easy to read, not feeling like I have to be working on something all the time.
Right.
So that's one thing that is helpful because I can kind of zone out in a good book and even just less social media time because it's, I don't know, you feel like you're watching other people live life while you're in a season where you just is what it is. So
Yeah.
finding those, I think that's one thing that's been helpful.
Okay. May I offer you a strategy to possibly try?
Yeah, absolutely.
You could do this while you're breastfeeding. I bet, it would help both you and your baby, but there's something called VOO breathing. So it's V as in Victor, O-O. And so it's just you take a breath in and you make that sound VOO as you're breathing out. And it doesn't necessarily have to be loud, but it helps calm your nervous system in two ways. It's when you breathe, when you exhale longer than you inhale, that signals safety to your nervous system because you're not running away from a predator. And also the VOO sound obviously vibrates your vocal cords, which massages your vagus nerve, which is a bundle of nerves that goes all the way up and down your body. And I was listening to a podcast the other day that the vagus nerve actually touches like all of our organs in our abdomen, and it's like command central for nerves, if you will. And so if you just kind of same thing like with humming, humming kind of does the same thing. But anyway, if you just take the first few minutes of sitting down to nurse and just do 5 or 10, breathe in, make that VOO sound out. That's sort of a self-regulating nervous system thing for you to just help you feel better.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think those are definitely things I can try. And I'm going to hop off before the wheels fall off here.
Okay. Well, you have
Thank
been
you,
getting so much
Lizzie.
love in the chat, and wow. So much admiration and respect for you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, take
Aww.
care. Bye. Wow. It's been a minute since I've seen a baby that small, especially since one of mine is 6'1" now and the other one's going to college soon. Holy smokes. All right, Elaine's coming up and then we got Lee after that. One of the things when my kids were small, like you'd be in the grocery store and some sweet grandma lady would be like, they grew up so fast. And I'd be like, lady, I'm just trying to make it through the day. So I did not appreciate those comments when my kids were small. But here I am now. I'm like, wow, they're growing up awfully fast. So true. Hey, Elaine, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. When you said no one had their hands raised, I was like, okay, that's my sign.
I'm so glad.
So I resonated a lot with, I think it was Jesse that talked about like the walking and stuff, because I am restarting no BS after cancer treatment and all of that, and feeling like I want to work on my perfectionist tendencies and like all or nothing, right? So I joined the no BS or the start program with MJ that
Right.
started mine started today. And so I'm like, okay, I can do this and this and this and this. And I know that I will not do any of that. So like trying to choose, like start slowly and figure out, the things I can do and will do. And I guess I just wanted to talk about that.
I'm so glad that you did, and welcome back. So glad that you are recovering. Hope things that's all going well. So perfectionism, our old friend, right? I have a special place in my heart for perfectionism because I'm certainly on the perfectionism spectrum and done a lot of research on it. And I would say like 80%, maybe even 85, 90% of the information out there is like perfectionism is bad and it will crush your dreams. And so you're like, great. Okay, like my whole life, I've been trying to get the A in class and now I'm supposed to not. But there is one book that is a little different and it's called The Perfectionist Guide to Losing Control. And instead of asking you to read the whole book, I will roughly summarize it. It's basically like, listen, perfectionism's kind of in your DNA. Whether we were raised to get the A in class or we're just, in a family where you got a t you, the only way you were seen is if how you excelled, or it feels like a sense of safety to do it perfectly. Like that absolutely is a safety mechanism. Perfectionism is part of who you are. And it is a very powerful force. So what perfectionist out there is going to be happy with like, yeah, just strive for mediocre?
Right.
None of us. So this book I was different because it was like, why don't we harness that perfectionist energy and just put it in a positive direction? So there's maladaptive perfectionism and there's adaptive perfectionism. Maladaptive is what it sounds like. It's the all or nothing. I got to get it perfect or screw it. And it's a shit show. Adaptive perfectionism is when you take that energy of like, I want to get it right. I want to do well. And you kind of focus that laser-like lens on learning rather than the A, rather than the outcome. So you focus that on what can I learn about this and get really good at the process rather than I am outcome or bust. So like when I was talking with Jesse, if we take that same example, the maladaptive perfectionism would be, I'm going to walk for 10 minutes every single day of my life for the rest of my life perfectly. And I might do it for a day or two, but the first day I don't, it's like, well, screw it. I am identity, a failure, and that is who I will be the rest of my life. You know, obviously I'm dramatizing a bit. Adaptive perfectionism in that case would be Jesse sets a goal to be like, I'm going to get up at 4:30 and walk 1 to 3 mornings this week. And she tries it. And she hits the snooze the first 4 days, maybe gets up one of those days. And then she collects data and she's like, all right, I'm going to learn about what is going on here. What's making it hard for me to get up? And I'm going to get really curious about it. And then I'm going to be like, if I set my alarm earlier and snoozed once, is that enough? Or like, if I don't know, go to bed 10 minutes earlier. Like, there's so many different ways you can tweak and learn and adjust and be like, I'm going to get really good at learning the process that will work for me. That's where you put that perfectionist energy. So now let's customize it to you. What are you trying to accomplish?
I would like to do the no BS four basics and lose weight because I know that that works. It has worked for me in the past, and yeah, that's my overall goal. And I want to lose weight to be healthier, to feel better, all of those good things.
Okay. And so I always want to meet you where you're at. So like similarly with Jesse, if I was like, well, 30 minutes a day, let's go. That probably would not work. So where are you at currently?
I am not doing any of the four basics. And to give an example, I think it was maybe last week's thing was about like guardrails, like easy guardrails. And I was like, well, what could I do that would be like easy? And I said, well, what if I just ate fast food one time per day instead of two? And that actually felt good and like not perfectionism-y. But that's sort of where I am. So today I was like, can I drink my water? Like that's where I am, starting from the very beginning.
Amazing. Thank you for that. Okay. So the four basics don't necessarily include fast food. So we could make a goal around fast food, but that's not specifically, it's more like I'm having fast food. Am I stopping at enough kind of thing?
Yeah,
But
okay.
again, we can customize it to what makes the most sense in your life. Since you mentioned water, how much water are you currently drinking?
someday probably, so I'm not tracking, so that's one, but I would say between 40 to 60 ounces, but I just for my body, I know I need more than the 64 ounces.
Okay. So wherever you're at, I would aim to start with like, can I get one more glass in a day? And we're going to do it very imperfectly. And so also we're going to look for the easiest way to almost sneak it in. So you want to kind of attach it and bundle it with something that you already do. So when you wake up in the morning, do you have a glass of water or you have something else or nothing at all?
I do have a glass of water, probably 8 ounces, not 16, so maybe that's where I could add.
Okay, that's an option. So you're already starting your day with a glass of water, which is awesome. So I'm going to give you credit for like you are doing some stuff here. It's not that you're doing none of the basics. And so you already had an idea of like maybe I could have 16 ounces instead of 8 in the morning. Cool. I don't know if you drink coffee, but you could be like I could have a glass of water and then a glass of a cup of coffee and then another glass of water. You know, lots of ways to get creative with it. You could say, I don't know if you like have a dog, but like when I let the dog out, I will also have a glass of water. When I have lunch, I will also have a glass of water. Lots of different ways to be like, when I do this, I will couple it with a glass of water. And you're not looking to hit 64 ounces or 80 ounces or whatever. You're looking to have like one more than normal. How does that sound?
It sounds good. It's amazing. Like my brain is already like, well, I can't do XYZ. So I guess it feels like not enough, but also that's the whole point of me asking this question, right?
Well, there's, I want to make sure I'm understanding correctly. Is I can't do XYZ because there's like a reason that an obstacle, or is that the equivalent as, well, XYZ is not good enough?
Good question. A little bit of both. One obstacle. So the cancer I had a Whipple procedure, and so my digestive system is all different. My stomach is smaller than it used to be, which seems like a nice feature. But anyway, when I think about like, oh, I could have water with lunch, then immediately my brain was like, well, I can't because then I can't eat enough food.
Okay.
That's more of like a I just need to learn how to manage the eating and drinking because I have a new, like, enough point.
Fair enough. So, I mean, that's a legit obstacle, clearly. And that's an example of where you take that lens of perfectionism and instead of being like, I'm going to do it this way or bust, and you switch it to like, I am going to learn and tweak and adjust until I find a system that works for me. So,
And
if, sorry.
does that just take practice? Like, I think you're so good at saying, like, I'm going to get curious about this and ask this question. Does that just take practice to have that be like part of your repertoire of response?
Yes. I'm trying to think like how I shifted my mindset around it, 'cause I absolutely have fear of failure, like anybody else. And the way I get around fear of failure is, well, let's just see what happens. Because whenever I'm like, I'm going to go for XYZ, I'm going to try this, and I'm, and immediately it's like, well, that won't work because yada yada yada. And I have learned to be like, well, let's just try. Just see this and like just start off with a little bit. And I think that the way I was able to adjust my thinking around that was when I wrote my first book. What helped me a lot was I was so scared to write a book, which, and it doesn't matter. But like writing for just a few minutes in the morning was so small. But it was like, it didn't feel that scary. And so I needed to start with something that didn't feel scary. And it was like, I don't care if it's not good enough. Like, it's better than sitting on my rear end saying, I'd love to write a book someday, which I had done for 7 years. So that was kind of similar to when I was talking with Jesse. Like, I built up evidence to show me that, like, if I do something tiny that's not that scary, I can accumulate, progress. And so that was what helped me get over the like, it's not good enough sentence of like, of course it's not. But sitting around doing nothing isn't good enough either. So might as well do a little bit. That's not good enough. I'm not sure if I'm really answering your question.
Yes, no, that was good. And just I guess the practice of saying, oh, I'm going to get curious about this, or how could I tweak this instead of just discounting something because it's not good enough.
Thanks. I think what helped me shift from, I suck to let's get curious was just getting so tired of the shame voice at 3 in the morning and being like, you keep doing this, you're going to wreck your life and your kids' lives and yada yada. And finally, I was like, just shut up already. And that was the first time I realized that voice in my head wasn't actually true, wasn't actually fact, it wasn't actually me, it was just a thought. And I did a lot of learning about self-compassion, huge, so important. And by practicing, I began to learn that having compassion for yourself actually does feel a lot better than, beating yourself up. And it does lead to more progress. And so that voice that says that's not good enough, or this will never work, or you're a shit show, 1000% still shows up. I've just trained myself to try and spend a little bit less time there and move towards, okay, yes, and what can we try? I've kind of like, I wouldn't say I've stopped arguing with the voice because I still believe it, but I'm also like, can we move on from this already? Like, I'm bored with you. So yes, it's a practice. It's like you practice yoga. Like, you never win yoga. Like, you practice at pivoting towards, yes, thank you, self-criticism voice, and let's get curious. It's a discipline.
Yeah, I really like how you said in the beginning of the call, like don't be on a diet. And the way you said it made so much sense. Like we all hear like it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change, whatever. Somehow the way that you said it, I was like, "Oh, this really makes sense because in an all or nothing way, if it's not a diet, there's nothing to quit. Like I'm
Oh
just
God,
doing
praise
this
the
every
Lord, what you
day."
just said. Say that again.
That if it's not a diet, there's nothing to quit.
Yes. And so if it's not a diet and you have a choice that you don't love, then what?
And I just make the next choice, like the next time.
Yeah.
I'm not quitting or starting over or any of that. I'm just living my life.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes me a little bit emotional because living my life has a lot like heavier meaning these days.
Right.
And I want to live the best one.
Right.
Yeah.
Elaine, that was huge. Like,
Yeah.
it was just one sentence, but it was a whole different way of looking at your life, your choices. It's like, if I'm not on a diet, then there's nothing to quit. I'm just making choices. I want to
Yeah.
cry too. This is
Yeah.
huge.
Yeah, that feels really good. And so what if you're a perfectionist or not? You're not quitting. Like it's just your life.
Yeah, like the good news is you're still here, you're still living. There's going to be another meal. You get another choice coming up in a few hours. There's nothing to quit, just another choice to make. And just like me, you will still have the old perfectionist thoughts, the old, oh, screw it. I already wrecked the day. Fuck it. And you get a little bit more practice with saying, okay, I knew that voice was coming. That's not a surprise. What if I just make my next choice? Like, maybe I don't have to think about, fuck it and or quit the day. I could just be like, what's the next choice? What would help me feel good? Because there's nothing to quit. It's just my life.
Yeah, that's really good. Thank you.
Whew, we strayed a bit from the four basics, but I think we got to something a little bit more important. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's never really just the four basics, right? But
So true. Yeah.
it's the pathway or whatever.
So as you are going through the START program with MJ and you're seeing this whole new, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Where you're not dieting, you're living. How could you bring that, like, there's nothing to quit, it's just a choice, into the START program that you're doing with MJ?
I think part of it is just following the pace of the program. Like already, the homework is listen to module one. And then I was like, oh, well, I can listen to module two. I think maybe just trying to say, okay, this is what they're saying to do this week. Like, let's just do that. And remember that I'm going to do it imperfectly. I think that MJ said consistency doesn't mean perfection or something like that. And that was a good one too. Like, oh yeah, if we're going for consistency, it's gonna have ups and downs.
Very much, yes. And consistency is showing up with whatever you've got today. And if you have 10% energy to give today, if you give 10%, that's 100% of what you had. That is 1000% a win. So consistency is like, what can I do today? It's like, I think it was Jesse, getting up and being like, a little bit counts. If I just do something, that's enough. And so,
Yeah,
like,
and
please go ahead.
oh, I like the analogy you said about you don't win yoga.
Right.
Like, I've heard that yoga is a practice, and I like how they say, like, if it's available to you today, do this move. But that thought of, like, you don't win is a good one. Like, a perfectionist wants to win all the
Right.
time,
Yeah.
right? But if it's not possible to win, like, you have wins during the process, but like, there is no win
You
finish
press.
line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elaine, thank you so much for raising your hand. I can tell in the chat a lot of people, like when you had your aha, people are like, mind blown. So thank you for that. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. And thanks for having this. I just saw this random Tuesday morning call, so this was great.
Fantastic. Amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very
Well, have a
much.
great rest of your day and enjoy the START program with MJ. And do me a favor, raise your hand while you're with her and sometime during those 8 weeks. Like, take advantage of that.
I will.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Elaine. Wow. There's nothing to quit. It's just my life, right? That was so good. All right. We've got Zeal is coming up and we'll make it a lightning speed round. Zeal, when you're ready, if you could unmute and share your video. I'm asking you to start your video and I'm asking you to unmute. So hopefully, Zeal, you should see little buttons of me asking you to do those things. In the meantime, we got something in the Q&A. Okay, we've got somebody went to ask coaches for a question. All right, Zeal, I don't know that this is working. Let's see what happens. Do we have two Zeals coming up? We do. Interesting. All right, Zeal, you're with me twice. There we are. Can you unmute?
Hello, sorry, I had
Hi.
some technology issues. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, thank you. So I'm just parked somewhere so I can talk.
Nice.
So my name is Selma, actually. I don't know, the Zeal is such an old name. I don't know how to change it on Zoom, but
Okay. Well, nice to
yeah.
meet you.
Thank you, nice to meet you too. I joined in the middle of the call. I didn't I wanted to join from the beginning, so I don't know if we've discussed this already, but I was just hearing you talk about imperfection, and this is something for me that is like I think the biggest thing for me in weight loss, and especially in no BS, is the whole perfectionist mindset and the all or nothing mentality. And that's been a big obstacle since I've joined in November. I try to do everything at once. Like, I want to do everything at once. I want to get it right because I want to lose weight faster. And the irony of that is that I haven't really lost much. Like, I keep losing the same, like 2 kilograms. I think that's around 4 or 5 pounds,
Right.
and then gaining them back again. So I haven't really like net. I haven't really lost much. Although the last couple of weeks have been a little better, I've tried to really pinpoint the imperfect wins and like honor them and say that they are enough and that like winning imperfectly is the goal. So I try to focus on just having as many imperfect wins as possible. And I've had a successful week. I've lost around like 1.3 pounds last week.
Great.
But then I have this, so but then my problem is I have this cycle where 1 week I'll do very well and I will lose. And then the second week, I don't know what happens, but I just do very bad according like if I compare with the first week. So it's 1 week good, 1 week bad, and then I just keep losing and regaining
Okay.
based on those weeks.
Okay. So a
Yeah.
couple of thoughts. When we were talking about the perfectionism, instead of the all or nothing, I want you to take that very powerful perfectionist energy and look at those weeks where you regain a little and be like, what's going on? Not with judgment, not being like, what's my problem? Not none of that. Just be like, all right, I'm seeing a pattern here. I go down, I go back up, down, back up. Okay, if it's a pattern, it's not a surprise. Something's repeating. What is it? What's getting in the way on those weeks that your weight goes up? Sometimes a client will tell me, like, once I lose 2 pounds, then my brain is like, well, I can, kind of lessen up off the gas a little bit. And if you're having a thought like that, then it's really good to ask yourself, like, what exactly am I letting up on? Why is food going to impact me differently if I'm trying to lose weight versus, like what gas is there to let up on? Like, we're not on a diet, we're changing our life. We're making choices. So it's and that was something that I talked about at the beginning of the call. So you said that you came in the middle, so you may not have heard that part. But like, if you were to talk about or think to yourself, I'm not on a diet, I'm just making choices. What's different about your choices on the weeks where you go up versus the weeks that you go down? And it's not good, it's not bad, it's just a difference in choices. Do you have an answer?
Yeah, I've reflected on this, and I feel that on the good days, on the good weeks, the week before I would have already like been I've binged, I've overeaten so many times, like I've already reached the lowest I can reach. So anything I can do a bit better than last week already feels like a win. Already feels like I'm gaining momentum, and it just keeps me going. But then what happens is that the week after that, anything I do that is less than the good week feels like failure. And for me, once I feel like, all right, this is a bad week and I'm gonna gain back the weight this week, like the idea just takes like hold of my mind that I'm gonna gain back the weight. The scale is gonna go up and like, or the week is already ruined. So might as well,
Okay.
just keep
So
eating.
it sounds like you're comparing last week to this week, and it's sort of like a ongoing cycle of like, if there's anything that's happening this week that's slightly worse than last week, then this week is a mess. It's done. Am I hearing that right?
Yes, a mess in terms of the scale, especially. I feel
Okay.
like I'll just gain it back.
Okay. Okay. So given that, the timing of this conversation, there's so much more I'd love to dig into this with you. So number one, I would really, really, really love for you to write in to Ask Coaches and be like, attention, Lizzie, like we talked on the call, because like I want to be able to help you customize what you're working towards. But in terms of the all or nothing, I want you to take that idea of like, I'm not on a diet, I'm making choices. When I make a choice that feels worse than last week, it's not good or it's not bad. There's a very logical reason for it. Most likely, you're probably stressed, you're tired, your nervous system is like freaking out and saying, I just need some danishes to make it better. Whenever that's happening, I think there's a good reason, but you're viewing it as bad and therefore not giving yourself a chance to understand why. So what I would love to work with you is be like, what's the story around, good or bad, and how can we lessen up some of that so we can figure out why is your nervous system saying that you need food to feel better? Would you be willing to write to me and ask coaches about that?
Yes, definitely.
That would
Will
be so
do.
great. Great.
Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thank you as well. I'm sorry that we didn't get to dive in a little bit deeper,
It's
but I
fine.
think we're
Thank
going to have a
you.
good conversation and ask coaches as well.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Last thought, team, on all or nothing thinking is, listen, it's not your fault that you have those kinds of thoughts of like, I want to do better than last week. You have been trained since birth to like do well in school, keep going better. Like our society is like, go for the gold ring. We've been trained to think that way. So it's not your fault, but I want you to think about it as like the higher I make the bar, the harder it is to achieve. And so just like if you're expecting to walk 10 minutes a day and you're like, that's a really low bar, but by the way, I'm telling myself I got to do it every single day for the rest of my life. Like that's a high bar. So take that perfectionist lens and shift it towards being consistent and meeting the day with the energy you have of like just do something rather than I've got to do the X, the 30 minutes, the stopping at enough perfectly, that type of stuff. So meet the day with the energy you have, and that helps you build up momentum and get evidence for yourself that like, yeah, a little bit definitely counts. Everyone, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been such a good call. I really appreciate it. And have a good rest of your March, the number of hours left in it, and happy April. All right, talk to you soon. Bye.